Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Dan.
And I'm Ethan, and we are Piercing Word team members. Our mission is to ignite passion for the Word of God in the heart of the church. We do this by performing scripture in dramatic or musical presentations, word for word, from the ESV Bible. In other words, the scripture is our script. Today, we will be sharing a piece called The One Story, which depicts how all of scripture points to the work and person of Christ.
Now, no matter how you got here today, whether you come every week or whether you've been planning to come for a while or whether you just rolled out of bed and you're watching online or whether somebody dragged you here kicking and screaming at the last minute, we believe that you are here intentionally. And that's because we don't serve a silent God who is distant. We serve a personal God who speaks. And he speaks to us through his word, and that's what we're going to be presenting for you today. And we believe that God has something specific to say to each and every person here and online. And so it's our prayer that God's word would take root in your heart and bear fruit in your life.
And that's why we not only perform scripture, but we encourage everyone everywhere we go to engage deeply with the word of God for themselves, and that includes you. If you weren't able to get one, we have programs that have memorization challenges based on the passage we will be sharing today, along with some discussion questions for you to use with your family, small groups, or on your own. And I know what some of you may be thinking, because I've thought it too. It's another person telling me to memorize more scripture. I'm too busy to do that right now. And yes, that is true, and I'm sure all of you are very busy. But God knows exactly what you're going through if you're going through any problems right now, and he wants to help. So you'll be amazed by just memorizing even a handful of scriptures. It'll have such an impact on you and those around you.
So also in those programs that Ethan mentioned, you can learn a lot more about Piercing Word. We have some information about us in there, as well as some opportunities that we have that you can participate in. Now, Piercing Word is a full-time nonprofit ministry that's located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we're supported by the generosity of businesses, organizations, churches, and individuals who believe in the mission of Piercing Word. So we ask that if you are blessed by today's performance, that you would prayerfully consider making a donation. And as Pastor mentioned, we have a basket on our back table. You can feel free to leave it in there. Or if you want to go home and pray about it, you can take home one of our envelopes and then just mail it into the office. Or the easiest thing of all, you can go online and at piercingword.org and go to our giving page and make a donation there. But by supporting this ministry, you enable us to go around not just Lancaster County and the surrounding counties, but wherever the Lord would open a door for us to go so that we can continue to encourage people to engage deeply with God's word. Now, like I said, we're going to be in the back at our table and in the back of the sanctuary after the service, and we would love to talk with you, answer any questions that you might have about Piercing Word. We have some free Bible memorization memorization tip bookmarks, not workshops, hey. Sorry, that's a whole different thing. but we have some free bookmarks that we would love to give you that you can take home and use for your personal use. But most importantly, we would love to just pray with you about anything that may be on your heart.
And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to The One Story. The Bible was written in a span of over 2,000 years. It is comprised of 66 books written by over 35 human authors in three different languages, all to tell one overarching story. The story of God's plan to redeem humanity from the brokenness of sin and shame, to build a kingdom of people who love and live rightly and spread his glory until he returns to make all things new. Today we will be sharing a piece called The One Story. That's not right. But you'll see today how the passages from Genesis through Revelation all point to the truth in the gospel and the salvation that's offered through faith in Jesus. Our telling of the one story is somewhat abstract and is told through the lens of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it begins on the day that Jesus rose from the dead when he encountered two people walking along the road.
All these things that had happened. As they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him.
What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?
Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?
What things?
Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him.
But we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel.
Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened.
But moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen visions of angels, saying that he was alive. But some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see.
Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And God said,
Let there be light!
And there was light.
And God separated the light from the darkness.
The light he called
day,
and the darkness he called
night.
And there was evening and morning, the first day. Then God said,
Let there be an expanse.
And it was so. God called the expanse
heaven.
And there was evening and morning, the second day. And God said, Let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land
earth.
And the waters that were gathered together, he called
seas.
And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
Let the earth sprout vegetation.
And it was so.
The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and trees bearing fruit, each according to its kind.
And God saw that it was good. It was evening and morning the third day. Then God said,
Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night.
And let them be for signs and for seasons.
And for days and years.
So God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night.
And the stars.
And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning, the fourth day. Then God said,
Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures.
And let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens.
So God created the giant sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to its kind, and every winged bird according to its kind.
And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply.
And fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth.
There was evening and morning, the fifth day. Then God said,
Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind.
Livestock and creeping things.
And beasts of the earth.
And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
Let us make man in our image,
after our likeness.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.
And over the birds of the heavens.
And over the livestock.
And over all the earth.
So the Lord God took the man and formed him from dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life.
Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, as was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
So the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying,
You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
Then God said,
It is not good that man should be alone.
I will make a helper fit for him.
So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man.
This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
So, God created man in his own image.
In the image of God, he created him.
Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful
and multiply.
And fill the earth and subdue it.
And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens.
And over every living thing that moves on the earth.
So God saw all that he had made in creation. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day.
Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work, and he rested. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him.
So, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all his work he had done in creation. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman,
"Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirous to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate.
And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him,
"Where are you?"
"I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself."
"Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?"
"No, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate."
"What is this you have done?"
"The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent,
"Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
To the woman, he said,
"I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desires shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you."
And to Adam, he said,
"Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. Because of you, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
Then the Lord God said,
"Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever."
Therefore, the Lord God sent the man from the garden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
Thank you.
Lamech, fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one will bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and filled with violence. God said to Noah,
I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you.
Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him.
And in the 600th year of Noah's life, the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were opened, and rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons entered the ark. They and every beast and all the livestock and every living creature according to its kind. And the Lord shut them in. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the face of the waters.
Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him inside the ark.
And God caused a wind to blow over the earth, and the water subsided. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. And behold, the face of the ground was dry. Then God said to Noah,
go out from the ark.
So Noah went out, he and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart,
I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.
So God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them,
Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood.
The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And from these, the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Now the Lord said to Abram,
go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.
And Abram did as the Lord had commanded him.
And the Lord said to Abram,
look toward heaven and number the stars, if you're able to number them. So shall your offspring be.
And he believed God, and he counted it to him as righteousness.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him,
I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly.
Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him,
behold, you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall no longer call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son by her.
Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself,
shall a child be born to a man 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will bless him, and I will establish my covenant between me and him and his offspring after him as an everlasting covenant forever.
When he had finished speaking with him, the Lord went up from Abraham. And the Lord did to Sarah just as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Abraham called the name of the son whom Sarah bore him
Isaac.
And the child grew and was weaned.
After these things, God tested Abraham.
Abraham.
Here am I.
Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
So, Abraham rose early in the morning and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men and his son, Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And he said to his young men,
"Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you."
So Abraham laid the wood for the burnt offering on his son Isaac, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. Then Isaac said to his father,
"My father."
"Here am I, my son."
"Behold the fire and the wood, but where is a lamb for burnt offering?"
"God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering."
So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son.
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said,
"Abraham, Abraham."
"Here am I."
"Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me."
Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked.
And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place,
"The Lord will provide."
The angel of the Lord called to him a second time from heaven and said,
"By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. When God saw that he turned aside to look at the bush, God called him out from the bush.
"Moses. Moses."
"Here I am."
"Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob."
And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God.
"I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians to a land flowing with milk and honey. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?
But I will be with you.
If I go to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?
I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go.
Lord, Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and of tongue.
Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.
Please, Lord, just send someone else.
Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. Take in your hand the staff with which you shall do the signs.
Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt,
tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you, and on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt.
So the people of Israel went and did so. And at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. And the Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste. For they said,
we shall all be dead.
The time that the people of Israel were in the land of Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses,
tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp by the sea, for Pharaoh will save the people of Israel.
They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord.
And they did so. And as the Egyptians were marching after them, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, they saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they feared greatly. So Moses said to the people,
fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, that he will work for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.
So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. So the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left.
The Egyptians pursued and went in after them. Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians."
So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters returned to their normal course. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen. Of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained.
Thus, the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant, Moses. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then God spoke all these words and said,
"I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, or anything that is your neighbor's."
Now when the people saw the thunders and the flashes of lightning and heard the sound of the trumpet and saw the mountain smoking, the people stood far off and trembled. And they spoke to Moses and said,
"You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die."
So Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was while the people stood far off. Then Moses came and spoke all the words of the Lord to the people.
"You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
And all the people answered with one voice and said,
"All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do."
So Moses sent young men of the people of Israel to go and offer burnt offerings. And Moses took the blood and he threw it on the people, saying,
"Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words."
Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And when Moses would enter the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and God would speak with Moses. Thus, the Lord used to speak with Moses as a man speaks to his friend. Moses said to the Lord,
"Please, show me your glory.
I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, but you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. Come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain."
So Moses rose early in the morning as the Lord had told him and went up on Mount Sinai.
The Lord passed before him and proclaimed,
"The Lord,
the Lord,
a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation."
If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord. Please let the Lord go in the midst of us and pardon our iniquities and our sin and take us for your inheritance.
Behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as not been created in all the earth or in any nation. Speak to the people of Israel. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle. And you shall make a veil, and the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent, and you shall anoint him, that he may serve me as a priest. You shall bring his sons also, and anoint them, and their anointing shall admit them to a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, so that he may not die. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd as a sin offering, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place. Because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, for on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins, and the priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins.
This Moses did in accordance with all that the Lord had commanded him.
And the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
The people of Israel set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against his servant, Moses.
Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?
There is no food, no water, and we loathe this worthless food.
Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died.
And the people came to Moses and said,
"We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us."
So Moses went and he prayed for the people.
Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.
So Moses made a bronze serpent, and he set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Now when David was in his house, Nathan the prophet came and spoke to him, or he said to Nathan the prophet, saying,
"Behold, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent.
Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you."
But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan.
"Go and tell my servant David, it is not you who will build me a house to dwell in. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, and his throne shall be established forever."
In accordance with all this vision, and in accordance with all these words, Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said,
Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? For there is none like you. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed from Israel, from Egypt, a nation and its gods. You, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever.
Then God spoke to his people by his servants, the prophets.
Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land.
David was the father of Solomon, the father of Rehoboam.
But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler over Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days.
The father of Amos, the father of Josiah.
The Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
The father of Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. When he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven.
You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.
Jesus entered Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying,
The time is fulfilled! And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them,
Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
And immediately they left their nets and followed him.
Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets, for I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. By this all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death.
The Jews said,
Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died?
Who do you make yourself out to be?
Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.
You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?
Truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
And they picked up stones to throw at him, but he hid himself and went out. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him,
Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Having said this, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud from the saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him,
Go, wash in the pool of Siloam.
And he went and washed, and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying,
Is this not the man who used to sit in bed?
No, but he is like him.
He kept saying,
I am the man.
Then how were your eyes opened?
a man called Jesus, made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight.
They brought before the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind.
Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.
How did he open your eyes?
I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?
We know God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from.
Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?
And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said,
do you believe in the Son of Man?
Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?
You've seen him, and it's he who is speaking to you.
Lord, I believe.
For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind.
Are we also blind?
If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains.
He went to the Sea of Galilee, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. Jesus, taking him aside from the crowd privately, put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And he sighed and looked up to heaven and said,
be opened!
And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly.
He has done all things well.
And they were filled with awe and said to one another,
he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.
I know.
When he returned to Capernaum, many were gathered together so that there was no more room. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And having made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. Jesus saw their faith and said to the paralytic,
son, your sins are forgiven.
Why does this man speak like that?
Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.
And immediately he rose and picked up his bed and went out before the crowd, so that they were astonished beyond measure, saying,
we never saw anything like this.
No, thank you.
Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy.
A ruler of the Jews, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him,
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit.
But
How can these things be?
Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying,
"We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands."
Have you no answer to make?
What is it that these men testify against you?
But he remained silent and made no answer.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
They led him from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters.
Are you the king of the Jews?
My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world.
You are a king.
For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose, I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth.
And what is truth? See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Behold the man.
Crucify him! Crucify him!
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
His blood be on us and our children.
He was despised and rejected by men. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And then when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
We are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong, Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
He poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.
My God! My God, why have you forsaken me?
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, that we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. On him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed.
Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. It is finished.
Having said this, Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split, and the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw what took place. They were filled with awe and said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is, the devil. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. For Christ, who is our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He is the mediator of a new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will establish my covenant with them, and I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus for all who believe. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear before God on our behalf. For if the blood of goats and bulls purify for the sanctification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And just as it's appointed for man to die once and then comes judgment, so Christ, having appeared once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him.
They drew near to the village to which they were going. When he was with them at table, he took bread and blessed it, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight.
Did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?
And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together.
The Lord has risen indeed.
As they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you." Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer these things and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.
When he had said these things, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you, he will return in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with him and confirmed the message with accompanying signs.
God spoke to us by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also created the world.
Radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand.
And turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham.
By faith, Noah, being warned by concerning events as yet unseen,
by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a land that he would receive as an inheritance. But he went out not knowing where he was going, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back.
All died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth.
But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Behold, I am making all things new.
am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us. Again, it's our prayer that the word that you were washed in would take root in your heart and bear fruit in your life once you leave here today. We're going to invite Pastor Stewart back up, and we can head to the lobby. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Piercing Word, for just an incredible presentation this morning.
Thank you.
I've seen Christ throughout all of Scripture, and so... They'll be able to greet you back there, and if you just bow your heads with me, I want to just close our time in prayer today. Lord, we just thank you for your word and the power of it and how it has been presented this morning in such a dramatic way. We thank you that Jesus who was concealed in the Old Testament was revealed in the New. We thank you that the reason we can gather together today is because you fulfilled your scripture. Lord, would you be honored and glorified through our lives as we seek you on a daily basis. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you now. We thank you for the time that we've been able to spend together today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Lord bless you.